Blog Talk Radio.
Make that summer we bless till we fool. Me a running out the blessings are running down. Me a dead, 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 dead. Imagine cause that's half a class of copper and over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one-minded. I'm the one-minded to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
I'm too blessed to be
stressed.
I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Yo, let me breathe. Hey, let's say me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later, the storm start.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me tonight. We have been studying Your Life Has Purpose. Your Life Has Purpose. Tonight we'll be continuing with 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, talking about the sin of omission. And the fact that we need to do what God is calling us to do. The sin of omission and the fact that we need to do what God is calling us to do. And when I refer to the fact of doing what God is calling us to do, I'm talking about the idea that we need to do it when God tells us to do it and not necessarily when we want to do it. And so, dear friend, I thank you so much for studying with me tonight, and I pray that you will be truly blessed as we study the Word of God together. Bow your head with me, and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just bless you. We lift up your holy name. I thank you for friends and family that join me to study the Word of God. I pray for them, O God. I pray that they will truly begin to understand your purpose, your reason for having them in this world. Lord, that we are not just existing, but that we're here for a reason. I pray, O God, that you would truly touch right now, move in a special way. Lord, I pray for that one that is just beginning their life, that you would direct their step. I thank you for that one that is in midlife right now, that they would continue to understand your call upon their lives. I pray for that one right now that is nearing, Lord, the end of their life and is still trying to figure out if they have done all that you've called them to do. Lord God, whatever stage of life that we are in, I pray that we would never forget to put you first and foremost in our lives. I pray that we will never forget how far you have brought us from and the fact that we have come this far by faith. We thank you, Lord, because you are awesome in this place. And, oh God, each and every day we are just so grateful to you for your love and your kindness towards us. Lord, we thank you for every breath that we take that we're able to magnify your holy name. Lord, I pray for your sons and your daughters as they listen to the Word of God, that their understanding will be just enlightened a little bit more. Oh God, that their zeal for you will be encouraged. I pray, oh God, that they will get a new determination to walk with you, oh God. I pray that they will never forget, Lord, how far you have brought them from and the fact that you will be with them continuing until the end. Oh God, we just thank you right now for your grace and your mercy. We thank you right now for your kindness towards us. We pray, oh God, that we will never forget, but God, that we would just take it one day at a time and give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you right now, Lord Jesus. Bless your people everywhere, whatever country they're listening from, whatever state they're listening from. I pray that you would bless them. Keep them in the palm of your hands, God. And I thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. Turn your Bible with me, if you don't already have it, to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We see in 2 Kings where someone is sick with leprosy and how it is on their heart to be healed of leprosy. And we will see how God is able to heal and able to deliver. So, dear friend, look at 2 Kings chapter 5. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus says the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.'" So we see that our story opens in 2 Kings chapter 5 with Naaman, who is the captain of the host. He is in charge of the army of Syria. And so we see that apparently they had just been in some kind of war with Israel. And they must have been the victor because they carried away a handmaid, a little girl, who was servant to Naaman's wife. And so the young lady who was servant to Naaman's wife knew about the prophet Elisha who lived in Israel. And so she began to say to her mistress, she said, "Ma'am, I know that your husband is sick. I see that he is sick with leprosy, but I know how he can be healed. There is a prophet in Israel who is able to heal your husband." And so someone overheard the young lady talking to Naaman's wife and went to the king and told him. Now, if you were the king of Syria, of course you would want the captain of your army healed. And so the king called Naaman to himself and he said, "Listen, I need you to go over to Israel and get healed." Now, it's an interesting thing because, of course, leprosy was a very serious disease. It was something that was very debilitating. It would cause your flesh to wear off of your body and just leave your hands with just stubs. It was the type of disease that once a person got it, they really were expected to live outside of the normal residences where other people lived, because people were very afraid of leprosy, and they you know, did not want to catch leprosy, and so the lepers had to live in their own place outside the cities. You know, they had several different places that were leper colonies and what have you. And so it was interesting that Naaman was able to continue as the captain of the army, although he had this very debilitating disease. And so he must have been a great warrior to have maintained his leadership of that army, although he had this sickness. Because, of course, you know, had he lived in Israel, he would not have been able to carry on like that. He would have had to live outside with the lepers who were actually isolated by themselves. But we see that the king of Syria wanted Naaman healed. He wanted him delivered. And so he sent him over to Israel with a letter. Now, most people would know that you cannot dictate to God. You cannot tell God what to do, and you cannot tell him when to do it. The king of Syria was a secular leader. He did not know much about the things of God, and so he thought that under his recommendation, he could send Naaman with a letter to the other king and just demand that he be healed. And so when this letter got to the king of Israel, the king of Israel just did not know what to do. He said, well, am I God? I mean, how can I heal leprosy? And apparently, the king of Israel must have forgotten also that he had a prophet by the name of Elijah living there who was able to perform miracles on behalf of God. And so the king said to himself, the king of Israel said to himself, he must be, the king of Syria must be trying to start a war with me. He's trying to start an argument with me. Because why would he send somebody to me for me to heal him of leprosy? And so he was not too happy with this new turn of events. And so let's begin from verse 8. The Bible says, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and the word rent means to rip, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And so Elijah says, king, you don't have to worry. I am going to take care of this, and they will know that there is a true and living God. They will know that God does exist and that God is still able to perform miracles. They will know that God is the almighty, powerful God. You see, God wanted them to see this miracle. He wanted them to see that he was still God of everything. He wanted them to see that if he allowed them to touch Israel, it was just because he wanted to. It was not because they did not have a protector. Amen. And so we see in verse 8 where it says, Elijah says, well, let him come to me because I want them to know that there is a prophet in Israel. And so let's look at verse 10. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I have thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. So when Elijah took it upon himself to handle the business of Naaman the leper, the captain of the guards of the Syrians, he did not bother to go personally to Naaman. He just sent his servant to Naaman to tell Naaman to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Now, Naaman was sick, but Naaman wanted to be healed and delivered on his own terms. He did not want to do things the way that God was telling him to do it. And I think sometimes we find ourselves in that same situation where God is calling us and telling us to do things a certain way, but we refuse because we want to do things our way. Naaman got angry, and this is the sin of pride. Naaman got angry because he thought, how dare he send a servant to me rather than coming himself. He thought that he was so important that Elisha the great prophet had to come to him personally. And he did not understand that God does things on his terms, not on ours. God is the Almighty God. He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent. He is God all by himself. He does not need our assistance. He does not need our help. And whenever God tells us to do something, we must do it. We must not question God as to why, how, who. Just do what God is calling you to do. And so Naaman wanted to be delivered, but his pride got in the way of his deliverance. Has your pride ever gotten in the way of your deliverance? Has God spoken to you about the things that you need to do with your life? And have you forsaken God in not obeying God and in not doing what he's called you to do? You see, many folks fall into that situation, into that condition. They want God to deliver them. They want to be set free from their addictions and their old habits. But if God does not do it the way they expect it to, then they don't want to listen and they don't want to hear. If God sends someone to speak to them who they don't think is a pastor or a prophet or someone, you know, that they have great respect for, they don't want to hear. And the truth is that God does not always send a pastor to us or a prophetess or a prophet or someone to speak to us. Sometimes God will send the least person that you least expect to have a word for you. And God sends that person, and that person has a word, has a message for you. And you have to learn to humble yourself and understand that God can help you any way he wants to help you. And he can use anyone he wants to help you. And so, Naaman in verse 11, the Bible says, and I use the King James Version, but Naaman was wroth, meaning angry, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. Naaman went away angry because the man of God didn't personally come. How many times have you gotten mad at your pastor? How many times have you gotten mad at your leadership from your church because they did not give you the type of attention that you thought that you should be getting? I want you to know that you will not always get personal attention from leadership, but you must understand that your leadership ultimately is God, and that you must learn to listen to the still small voice of God speaking to you and directing you. Don't wait for the pastor's attention, because the pastor is already praying for you and already knows that God is doing a work in your life. Trust God. Let him work things out for you, because he will. And so let's look at verse 12. It says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now, I want you to notice that the King James Version uses wroth at first, which means angry, and now it uses the word rage. And so the word rage signifies here that he was even more angry than he was before. And so rage is a more intense form of anger. And so Naaman said, why can't I wash in the rivers in my own country, in my own town? Why would I need to come all the way to Israel to dip in water? You see, sometimes, dear friend, God can work things out in such a way that is beyond your comprehension. And you might be saying, well, God, why didn't you work it out this way? And God says, because I didn't want to. I didn't want to work it out that way. I wanted to do things this way. So why should I do things just because you wanted to do? I am God. I can do things the way that I feel like doing it because I have your life in my hands and I know what's best for you. You see, Naaman didn't want to hear that. Naaman said, I've got rivers in my own town. I'm going back to my own town later for Elijah. I want you to know that when God sends you a message, don't just blow it off. Don't just throw up your hands and say, I don't want to hear. Listen. Listen to what God is telling you. You never know who God is going to use to speak a word into your life, to speak a word into your heart. So don't just ignore people who you think just because you think they're insignificant. And how dare you look at people around you as if they're insignificant in the first place. God made them and God made you, and what makes you more important than the people around you? Humble yourself in the hands of the Lord and let him direct you. Look at verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Now listen, his servants, the people who wait on him, had to talk some sense into him. You know, sometimes we are so grand in our own head that God has to use some people to bring us down a peg. His servants, the people who carry water for him, the people who wash his feet, the people who take care of him, had to talk some sense into Naaman and say, sir, father, sir, listen, if God had asked you to do this big, gigantic thing, you would have done it. But because he told you to do such a simple thing, which is just to wash 7 times in the Jordan River, you don't want to do it. Why not try it? You know, in other words, they were saying to him, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? If God is calling you and God is speaking to your heart and God is telling you what you need to do with your life, what do you have to lose? Try him. Let him direct you. We spend so much time trying to direct our own lives, and God is trying to tell us, stop trying to direct yourself. I am God, let me lead you. I am God, let me help you. I am God, let me give you strength. You have no strength of your own. Let me give you strength. Let me help you. So many times in our lives, God wants to help us, and we just don't want to lean on him. This is the time of your life to lean on God. This is the time in your life to acknowledge that he cares more about you than you will ever know. This is the time in your life to understand how much God loves you. This is the time in your life for you to acknowledge that he is able to lead you and let him lead you. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now look at that. The moment Naaman chose to be obedient to God, the Bible says not only was he healed, but his body was so nice that it was almost as if he was a little child again. All his wrinkles and everything were gone. Now tell me that God isn't a big wrinkle cream. Amen. For all of you women who are looking for a way to look young again, turn your life over to Jesus, because he fills you with so much joy and so much peace. It's almost like going out and buying wrinkle cream. Amen. The Bible says that when Naaman came up out of the water, his skin was so clean and fresh and nice that it looked like a baby's skin, a child's skin. Look at verse 15. And he returned. Now, I want you to make note of that. Whenever God does anything for you, you must always remember to give God thanks. He returned. He remembered who had just done this great miracle for him. He didn't take it for granted, but he was thankful to God for doing this great thing for him. Verse 15 says, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing off thy servant. So, is it legitimate? Is it lawful to bring an offering to church when you come? Of course it is. Notice that when God healed Naaman, he did not leave without trying to offer something to the man of God. There's some folks out in our churches who don't like people to take good care of their pastor. They don't like them to give them anything, buy them anything. They want their pastors to drive the old clunkety-clunk cars. They want the pastors to live in the oldest homes. They don't want their pastors to live well. But I want you to know that it is very biblical to make sure that the pastor who's feeding the flock is okay. It is very biblical to bring your offering into the house of God. It is very biblical to pay your tithe unto God. It is very biblical to make sure that you always pray and encourage the man or woman who is pastoring your flock. I want you to notice that Naaman did not leave before turning around and offering to give the man of God something. So look at verse 16. But he said, as the Lord live it, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And so I want you to notice that there are times when God will tell you not to take an offering. And so when, you know, I've had, you know, at least once or twice where I went to preach someplace and I was offered an offering and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't take it. So there are times when people will offer you stuff and you have to say no because the Holy Spirit tells you no. And there are other times when you go to a church and you know, you just say thank you when they give you an offering after you preach. So in this particular case, the Lord told Elisha not to take an offering of Naaman. And so he didn't. Look at verse 17. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And so Naaman offered even some cattle to Elisha, and he said, you know, because I don't want to offer sacrifices to other gods, I'm even going to stop doing this. He says in verse 18, in this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. So basically he says that he is servant to his master, the king. And so when he goes in to, you know, worship those other gods, and he has to go with him because that's his job, what he's saying is that he's asking in advance pardon of the God of Israel because it is not in his heart to worship the other god, but he has to go in there because of the master that he serves. Look at verse 19. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. And Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master had spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now, no one told, Gehazi is the servant of Elisha. No one told him to go and take anything from Naaman, but he decided to be greedy. Now, greed is the other thing that's talked about in this chapter. First, pride, because Naaman was very prideful, and now greed. Gehazi was greedy, and so he decided to take it upon himself to go after Naaman and try to get the things from Naaman that Elisha refused to take. And so, look at verse 19, and actually verse 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. So Gehazi decided to be sneaky. The stuff, he had to have help to carry the stuff back to his house. And he let them carry it near to the house. He told them to go, and then he carried it the rest of the way into the house himself. Now, he did not realize that one of the things about men and women of God that are very anointed and who walk very close to God, one of the gifts that God gives to them is discernment. And sometimes he will not just give them discernment, but he will just outright tell them the business of the other person. And so Gehazi apparently did not know this. And so he went to meet with Elisha after this encounter with Naaman and his entourage. So look at verse 25. And when he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." So guess what? When Elisha asked him where he went, he said nowhere. He didn't go anywhere. He lied to Elisha and did not even tell him that he went to meet Naaman and how Naaman had given him the stuff. But of course, you've got to understand that Elisha was a true prophet of God, and he was able to discern when someone was telling him a lie. And not only that, God showed him the whole thing. And so he said to Gehazi in verse 26, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 26, and he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants?" He asked him, you know, first of all, he said, "Listen, I saw the whole thing. You're lying to me. I saw when you meant to meet the men. I saw what the men gave to you. You know, so you're lying. And this is not even the time to receive all of those things." So in other words, he was trying to let him know that there is a season for everything. And when your season comes to receive those type of things, God will give it to you. But it was not your season to receive those things. All of us have a season when God blesses us and when God says, "You know what, this is your season for the outpouring. I'm going to give you all of this." But then you might go through a season of your life when God says, "You know what, I'm not going to do that particular thing right now." You've got to understand what season you're in. And it was not the season to gain riches. And so this is what Elijah said to him: "The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. and he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Now, for pure greed, Gehazi now had leprosy, for pure greed. If he had not been greedy, he would have still been strong and healthy, but he was greedy. And because of his greed, Elisha told him that the same leprosy that left Naaman would now be upon him, and he left out of his home, out of his office, a leper. And not only did he leave a leper, but the Bible says that there would be somebody in his generation that always had leprosy. And so I'm sure that because God's word never, you know, is void, it never goes back to him void, I'm sure if you did your research and went into Israel right now, I'm sure you will find somebody who is a descendant of Gehazi who still has leprosy, because he was told that it was going to be his seed forever. Somebody in his family was always going to have leprosy because of him. Sometimes, dear friend, when you see some things happening in your family, you've got to understand that someone must have done something to cause some of the things that are happening in your family. So there are times when you have to pray and ask God to break generational curses off of your family. God is able to do that. If he's able to bring the curses, he can also break the curses. And so you ought to pray right now and ask God if there be any generational curses on your family for him to just break it. And I want you to also understand that two things went on in this chapter. First, you had the sin of Naaman, which is pride. Naaman was very, very prideful and felt that Elisha should have seen him personally. Then you also had the sin of Gehazi, which was greed. Gehazi was very greedy, and after Elisha turned away gifts from Naaman, he went and took those gifts and caused leprosy to fall on him and his generations. Now, dear friend, I want you to know that God is calling you specifically. I don't know what has been going on in your family. I don't know what's going on in your personal life, but God is calling you personally to put down the sin of pride and greed and to surrender your life totally to God and ask him to direct you. It is just amazing to me how just walking in there and talking to Elijah, Elijah could just command things and they would just happen. How was he able to do that? Well, dear friend, he was able to do that because he walked very closely with God. And when you spend all your time praying, seeking God, and listening to the voice of God, you will understand that God will give you authority over the spirit realm, and you'll be able to speak things into existence. What do I mean by that? That means that you can pray for folks and they can be healed. You can cast out demons over those who are possessed. You can do all manner of things. Why? Because God has given you that authority. He has given you that authority. Those who trust God and those who wait on God, God says that they will mount up with wings as eagles. And I hope that you are ready to mount up. I hope that you are ready to praise God with all your heart and all your soul. I hope that you're ready to put him first in your life. You know, I began by telling you that our title tonight, our topic tonight was the sin of omission and the fact that we need to surrender our lives to God. We need to do what God is calling us to do. You see, when God is calling you to do something and you don't do it, what you're doing is omitting the things that you know to do. And God does not want you to omit doing the things that you know that you should do. He wants you to come under the hearing of his voice and to let him lead and direct you. You cannot be self-directed. You must be God-directed. Hallelujah. God is truly still God, And he is looking for folks that are faithful, dedicated, persistent. He's looking for folks that will not give up, but will continue to journey on, giving God that first place in your life and helping others to understand that he is still God. Dear friend, I want you to know that this is the time in your life when you should be looking to serve God. Don't worry about those who aren't serving God, but you serve God for yourself. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's Romans 10, verse 9. And our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Bow your head with me and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just truly honor you. I bless your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for being so wonderful. Oh, God, I thank you for those who studied with me tonight. I pray that you'll continue to bless them, Lord. Father, we cannot begin to do anything without you. And, Lord God, this is our victory right now. Oh, God, that we have peace with you. I pray, Lord God, for those listening around the world. God, you know the hardship, oh, God, in some countries. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them right now. I bless you. I honor you, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, God, for mothers everywhere and fathers everywhere, aunties and, Lord, uncles and cousins, grandparents, oh God, we pray that you would give them special strength, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now. I bless your name, Jesus. I thank you for those who faithfully listen, God, to the word of God. I thank you for their desire to love you more and to serve you more. Touch right now, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, Lord God, we will continue to honor you and to praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I pray for that one that needs to be healed right now. Touch them right now. Heal them, I pray. And, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dear friend, thank you so much for studying with me. Thank you for praying with me. And I want you to know that through everything that you go through, there is a blessing in the storm. Kirk Franklin.
This album is dedicated to everybody that's been going. I hope you've enjoyed this record. I hope it's ministered to your heart and soul. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. And we'll be praying for your family too. I just got one more thing I want to leave with you. If you're going through something, family.
When I cannot feel the sparrows sing, when I cannot feel the melody, there's a secret lane that's full of rain.
Yes,
there's a blessing in the song.
Yes. Y'all wouldn't pray if you didn't go through something. And when you go through something, that's where you'll meet Jesus. Can I get a witness in here? And listen, if you're really sick in your body and feel like giving up, listen.
When the sickness won't leave my body,
yes, sir.
When the pain just won't leave my soul,
this is all you gotta do.
I get on my knees to say, Jesus, please.
Call them.
There's a blessing in the storm.
I need a witness in there.
Help me sing it. There's a blessing in the storm.
Some of y'all have been into some bad relationships, and some of you had your heart broken and you've been lied to. I want to let you know that there is a lover named Jesus, and he will supply your every need. Family.
When I cannot see the love again.
Yes, sir.
And the raindrops fall.
But if you're
just hold on.
If you just hold on.
Deep cry.
The crowds will soon be gone.
Yes, sir.
There's a blessing in the storm.
Come on, somebody.
Help me sing it. There's a blessing.
Here we go.
That God is here. He is here with you. Worship Him. Martha Manuzzi.
We sense your glory in the building, Lord. Your presence is here. Sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the spirit of the living God.
God is here, and he just wants you to lay down your burdens to him. There's an old song that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. Oh, yeah, good Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to make it to a place called heaven. Dear friend, are you prepared? Are you ready? because soon and very soon, the Lord is coming. God bless you. Thank you so much for studying with me tonight. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. You are listening to Vision, and I pray that the peace of God will be with you throughout this week, throughout the month, throughout the coming years, that the peace of God will be with you. We'll be studying again on tomorrow evening. God bless you. Second Chance Ministries, too blessed to be stressed.
Me say summer we blessed still with food. Me a funny girl say blessings are running down. Me a dead dead. Me a drink out of half a glass cup or a rope.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
I'm too blessed to be
stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later from the storm start storming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place and shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican
food in a Dutch pot.
And from the news, they never can't touch that. Tell Satan to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too Jesus, yes, Him can solve them
one by one.
We back and expose them. So when Satan a moving at your own, we not to worry, cause we know how to get him out.
Bleed the blood of Jesus
Christ out of your mouth. And the one Satan him a forget out. Just on your knowledge, no life in the darkness. And your life is filled with happiness. I'm from the notes in the day.